96.4.
And there we go. As promised, it's 20 minutes to 12. And we have got Letty Erasmus from the Kidney Dialysis Clinic here with us in studio. And we are, it's World Kidney Day today. So that is one of the reasons why we wanted to have this discussion. Welcome, Letty. It's so lovely to have you in studio.
Oh, thank you so much, Lualen. Thank you for having me as a guest today. And hello to all the Hoedspruiters. It's a privilege to be here.
Fantastic. We're going to kick it. I mean, you've bought me some beautiful, I'll take photos and send this out on our Facebook page, but some lovely goodies and a cookie with two kidneys on it, which I think is absolutely gorgeous. So yes, but let's kick it off. You know, this is a serious subject to talk about, but as serious as it is, it's definitely something that can be it can be looked after and it can be
prevented
going forward.
Absolutely.
So let's kick off with a couple of questions that we can just get some answers from you and just make it a bit clearer for people out there that are either going through this or are starting to feel that they need to go and have their kidneys checked. So at the end of the day, what do we need to know about kidney disease and why do we celebrate World Kidney Day?
Do you know what? It is estimated that 10% of people worldwide suffer from some degree of chronic kidney disease. So that means it's like 6.5 million South Africans, and this numbers is rising. So there's some good reasons and some bad reasons why this is rising. The some good is because people live longer and the disease is diagnosed later in life. But the most bad part is that this is in a rise because it is a lifestyle disease. And like diabetes and hypertension, this can have an impact on the kidney. So they say more accurate statistics is that 15% of people worldwide have kidney disease and it's undiagnosed until it is too late. So the thing with kidney disease, it's a silent killer because it's actually asymptomatic.
Oh my word.
So that is why. You've asked me why World Kidney Day. And the question that I want to ask the listeners is, are your kidneys okay?
Yes, number one. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so important. And the kidneys work so hard in our bodies in any case. And but what can you do to keep your kidneys healthy as possible so that you don't need medical intervention?
Absolutely. So we want to detect kidney disease early, and today we want to create awareness of the health, the role your kidneys play to your overall health. So what can you do? Well, in my opinion, the kidney is a very humble organ. Very few people know what the functions of the kidney is or where they are located, and if they are healthy or not. So let's start with the function of the kidney. If you are comfortable with that, what I usually tell my patients is I try to make it simple. So, and I use this sentence, a wet bed. So A, the kidney is responsible for your acid base balance. It regulates that in your blood. And then the W, water, it controls the water. It would filter it through to urine. Then your electrolytes, it balances your electrolytes. The most important three, sodium, potassium, phosphate, calcium, magnesium also plays a role. And then the most important thing, T, is it gets rid of toxins. And what very few people know is that the kidney also would control your B, your blood pressure. So there's a whole hormonal system that controls your blood pressure, and then your kidney also makes a hormone. It's EPO, and this hormone is a messenger to your blood or your bone marrow to make red blood cells, and then your kidneys also help to make vitamin D. So you know now what's the functions of the kidney and where are they located. They are two bean shapes, more or less fist size, below your rib cage next to your spine.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit higher than people anticipate. That is where they are, and then the question is, how do you know your kidneys are healthy, or how do you measure this? Can I answer that question?
Please
now?
Do, because I think, like you say, it is a silent killer, mm-hmm. and it gets diagnosed so much later in life. It would be wonderful to have the telltale signs of what kidney disease is.
Yeah. So, medicine, like we practice it today in this age, has really evolved. So lab values plays a critical role in this practice. So it's actually very simple. You need to visit your pharmacy, your clinic, your GP for screening. It's a screening blood test that they do, and then go for your regular checkups and make sure that you've got a baseline checkup for your kidney function. That is very important. Mm-hmm. And then we can actually gauge your kidney function and the risk factors. Do you know one of the ways that kidney disease actually gets diagnosed in South Africa is with insurance screening?
Oh, my goodness.
So you would just go, you know, you want an insurance, you screen, and then they actually would diagnose you with chronic kidney disease. So I want to emphasize this, that please visit your GP. Go for your regular checkups, get the screening done, and if you've got risk factors, if you've got like a deteriorating kidney function, please monitor that. Make sure you know what is your kidney function status.
And that obviously is covered, anyone that's got a medical aid, that will be covered through
yes,
your medical aid.
Absolutely.
So take advantage of that, yeah. Just another check. Like us ladies go for our mammograms and we have our pap smears, we should put this into mm-hmm. our next test that we do when we go for our yearly checkups.
Absolutely, mm. I do agree with you. Mm.
And basically, what is the telltale signs of chronic kidney disease?
Do you know what? This is a tricky question because it's largely asymptomatic and it has little or no signs. But I'm going to share some of the signs with you. Like if you visit the bathroom less or more frequently.
Yeah.
It tells you there's a change in your kidney function. Fatigue can also be a sign. Swelling of your ankles or puffy eyes in the morning when you wake up. Itchy, dry skin. Nausea and vomiting. Loss of appetite or losing of weight. Now, I know this can be universal symptoms for a busy, stressful life, other medical conditions. So that's why we actually have this day to make, to create awareness and to say, all right, you know, this is asymptomatic. Just look at the signs, but please go for your screening.
And go and have yourself checked.
Absolutely.
And what is the biggest risk factor for chronic kidney disease in South Africa?
That's actually a wonderful question to ask. The two worldwide, I'm going to start. The worldwide is diabetes and hypertension. Yeah. And then South Africa, the third one is added, it's HIV. Oh. So if you look at diabetes, especially type 2, this is a lifestyle disease. And it's linked to factors like diet, exercise, body weight, and hypertension. There's also diet, physical activity levels, stress levels, alcohol consumption that actually plays a role. So the biggest risk factors is this three, diabetes, hypertension, HIV.
HIV.
So how do you manage this? How do you make sure that you will not end up with chronic renal failure or chronic renal disease or in the different stages? The most important thing that you can do is to get your diabetes and hypertension well controlled. Because if you control this too, and HIV, if you control this,
those diseases,
then you reduce the risk of the complications, yes, like chronic kidney disease. That is really, really important. And then, if you are diagnosed with one of those three, you need to get it controlled. And then the patients need to know their status of their kidney function. So they need to follow up, and manage. If your doctor says every 6 months, every 6 months.
Yes. And obviously alcohol is a big one of the big contributing factors, but it's not necessarily alcohol on its own.
No.
There are a few factors that...
There's definitely a few factors that play a role. Absolutely.
And tell me, how do you take ownership or responsibility for your kidney health?
This is a question that I would like to answer in this way, to remind our listeners that we have five types of wealth. You know, sometimes we would look at people and if they're financially wealthy, we think, wow, they've made it. But you know what? Physical health and wealth, psychological wealth, social wealth, and time wealth also plays a role. So I am here to ask the listeners if they are willing to invest in their health wealth. And if they are willing, there is 8 golden rules of the World Kidney Day. Rule number first, and you know what, it never changes.
Well, that's how it should be. That's what rules are made for.
You know what, we think the rules change. Listen to this. And they'll listen, I've heard it before. It doesn't change. So, stay fit.
Yeah.
So, move, all right. A healthy diet. Control your blood sugar, monitor your blood pressure, hydrate, and then limit the over-counter painkillers and anti-inflammatories. And I want to add something here. When I worked in ICU, I got like super fit comrades, athletes, landing in ICU with acute renal failure. You know what they did? They didn't hydrate properly. Now, they had maybe like a knee or something, then they started to pop anti-inflammatories every 4 hours, and they got in a stage where they overloaded their kidneys, and they landed into, you know, ICU. Sure. And you know what? Usually acute renal failure, you can reverse it, but you can get some kidney damage. Right. So please don't do that. And check your kidney function, like I mentioned. Screening, visit your GP, and then avoid alcohol and smoking. And why do I say this? Your habits or your lifestyle choices increase your cardiovascular risk, and the kidneys also suffer from this, and it can cause a decline in your kidney function. So I want to challenge or urge the listeners to make an investment in your health.
And it's so important. And as we get older, we think we need to slow down more, but we need to stay fit.
Absolutely.
And you need to increase your muscle ratio.
Absolutely.
So that you stay healthy, that you don't fall, that you don't injure yourself, because it's when you're older and you injure yourself, it depends on your fitness level as to how quickly you'll recover. And that's why I 100% say exercise is so important.
You know what you say, it's absolutely the truth. You know what, if I sit on the ground, my husband, being a gentleman, would come and help me up. And I said, please don't do that.
Use your own body strength to get yourself up.
Absolutely.
That's very important.
Absolutely.
And but let's keep going. I'm loving this. It's so interesting. All right. And I'm learning so much about this. And, you know, sometimes we know what it's more or less about, but you don't know the in-depth details of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do people take ownership and manage chronic kidney disease after diagnosis? And how do you take patients into this journey?
Mm-hmm. You know, I like the word ownership with a chronic diagnosis. It's not an easy diagnosis to get, and we take the patients on the journey of empowerment through information sharing. And it's very important that the patient accept the diagnosis and that they integrate this diagnosis into their daily lifestyle. It's important that they adapt and make positive changes so that the impact can be absorbed in a positive way to make the journey easier for them. So what I just want to add here is the moment that we get a patient and his renal function or GFR is less than 15, we usually start then with dialysis, and that's when we actually get, you know, to get to know the patients. They come to our clinic, and we have a very close relationship with our patients because they dialyze 3 times a week for 4 hours.
Wow.
So yeah. They and we get to know them, so we need to support them, and this it's an emotional journey. They need to accept this diagnosis, so we really support our patients through the whole journey.
And if you had to break it down, what is dialysis? What is mm-hmm. How does that procedure work?
All right. So dialysis, we use the word renal replacement therapy with hemodialysis as the best known or the common known therapy. So the word dialysis can provoke fear or uncertainty, and we as healthcare providers need to put this life-saving treatment into context. The reality is that if we don't dialyze these patients, they'll die.
Yeah.
So dialysis is a life-saving treatment, but we must look at our core principles, and this is we're saving lives, and then we need to prevent suffering. Dialysis gives patients their lives back. They can have quality of life and have hope, and they can actually enjoy daily living. So a renal replacement therapy is not limited to dialysis only. A kidney transplant for suitable patients can be a beacon of hope. So if you look at dialysis, it's a purification of blood by some mechanism, and it then cleans the blood, and then we reinfuse the blood to the patient again. Hemodialysis specifically is where you use a technologically advanced machine. That's the most common form. And then we use a filter, a dialyzer. The blood passes through the filter in a very controlled fashion, and then it returns to the patient safely. The patients actually don't have the physical perception that their blood is out of their bodies and return.
Wow.
They don't. So the process is relatively painless and undistressing. So the patients can enjoy the session. It's 4 hours. They can interact with staff, other patients. They can watch TV. They can do computer work. I actually had one patient that did a diploma. She only worked on a diploma while she was dialyzing, and she finished that in a year. So yes.
So if you embrace it, it can be a calming process.
Yes.
And can you survive forever ongoing? What is the timeline?
Look, there's statistics worldwide available, and it depends on the compliance. It depends on how well you manage.
After
when you start with dialysis, how well the patient is managed. I always say in our world, to connect a patient to the machine is very easy, but to manage a patient with chronic renal failure or chronic kidney disease is an art.
Mm-hmm.
So like in Japan, 30 years plus, I think South Africa, but I'm not totally sure, 10 to 15 years. So you can actually live very long while you dialyze, but you need, it's like a partnership. There's a partnership between the patient and the renal team, and we need to be compliant. The patients need to be compliant, and we need to manage them optimal while we dialyze them. And that's the balance. I hope I answered your
absolutely
question.
Absolutely correct. 100% correct. And, I mean, what we were just saying, coming to the back tail of the interview, what is the important guidelines that you as dialysis units have to make sure that your patients have a successful experience of this treatment?
All right. So our company, very easy, patients first.
Yes. How many patients do you take at a time?
I can dialyze 6 patients per day. So, yeah. Okay. And remember that they come like 3 times a week. That's some right. patients, depending on their renal function, comes twice a week. So,
is the minimum requirement 1 or is it...
All right.
Does it depend on the level of the disease?
Yes. Okay. Usually, 3 times a week, 4 hours. But if you have residual kidney function, we would like you to, we would like that to remain. And then we look at your blood, your lab values, and the doctor would prescribe then your dialysis script, and then we would dialyze you twice a week. We can dialyze you twice a week for 4 hours or twice a week for 3 hours. I had one patient that only came once a week for 4 hours, but usually 3 times a week, 4 hours.
Okay. And just another question, Letty. If you have lost a kidney, if you've just got one kidney, mm-hmm. can your body still function 100%?
If you've got one healthy kidney, your body can function 100%. That's why if you donate a kidney, you can actually live with one kidney 100%.
Okay.
So our mother company is Renal SA, and we've got 5 dialysis units. We've got like one in White River, Hoedspruit, Barberton, Welkom, and then in Nelspruit. And I really know that part of the vision and mission of our company, I know that it's patients first, but Nikki and Mariska have had a dream to bring dialysis to all the small towns.
Yeah. So the people don't have to drive all the way out still.
Absolutely. So we, and you know that your large companies don't do that, you know. So you have to travel to Zanin or Palabora. So that's in their heart to bring dialysis to the small companies. So we play a supportive role in the chronic diagnosis. With the emotions that the patients experience, the treatment for end-stage renal failure is unlikely other than other treatments. The patients need to be supported and they need to be understood. We walk with them through these difficulties, what they might experience. We have a multidisciplinary team approach. That means we've got a renal team. So you've got a nephrologist that would actually manage your chronic renal failure. We've got the technologists, we've got renal nurses, we've got psychologists, social workers on board. And then what we do is we take hands with other specialists. So if you are diagnosed with comorbidities, we would actually pull that specialist in. So this is a speciality, and we would make use of cardiology, we make use of the specialist that you need, so that he help or she helps us to manage your disease optimal. And then we explain the whole process step by step. It can be very overwhelming for
I'm
patients
sure, yes.
And we just explain to them step by step what this whole process will entail. And remember, we want to treat them in a safe way.
Yeah.
We want to manage their comorbidities. And this can be tricky, especially if your patient is not compliant, or if you're like in a small town in Hoedspruit, but you know, we've got now specialists that's coming aboard. This can be tricky, but it is very, very rewarding.
I can just imagine. And you know, it's something, like you say, it's something as little as having a test done at your doctor's, and just to be 100% sure that your kidneys are working healthily. And obviously rehydrate liquid, especially in Hoedspruit as well, for the humidity that we have here. And just to, you know, and the basic things of eating healthy, trying to stay as healthy as you can, and to exercise at the end
of
the day.
Absolutely. You know, I want to end with this. What I, when I develop a good relationship with my patients, I would ask him these questions. I would ask, would you have changed something that you did before you ended in my unit? And all of them said, if I just managed my diabetes better, if I just listened and drank my hypertension medication, because remember, hypertension is also, it's asymptomatic. You feel good. So why do I have to drink these tablets? Why do I have to follow up? So there wasn't one that said, I would have managed my health better. So I want to encourage the listeners to invest in their health. And actually, if I see them in town and I've asked them, how are your kidneys?
Yes.
Are your kidneys okay? They must say, yes, I've been to the doctor, I've done the screening, and my labs are okay. So, yeah, the question for today, are your kidneys okay?
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Letty. It was an absolute pleasure having you in studio, and you've really informed us so much. And we are so grateful to the dialysis clinic that is here in our small town. Mm. And we embrace it with open arms. And thank you once again for keeping the awareness alive and awake here in Hoedspruit and across the world for World Kidney Day. So there we go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much. And yes, that was